Baptism and membership can be seen as something quite unusual. And so I just wanted to reflect on that for a few minutes today, just to put things into perspective as to, I guess, how things came about. First to say that the early church started off, and we're aware for the first few centuries, bits and pieces, and then we get to the 300s, and King Constantine, or Emperor Constantine, said Christianity is going to be the thing. It's going to be the religion of the kingdom. Now, that was good at one level, because Rome had become a bit of a centre for Christian faith. And we've got the letter of Paul to the Romans in Rome. And what happened was, because Rome was central, it was good for transport, it was good for security. If you're a Roman citizen, you were protected. It was good for lots of things, for the spreading of the gospel. But it became a dominant, controlling power. And the church there in Rome gradually took over the power of Christian faith. Now, let me say, this, of course, is the Protestant perspective. If you were a Roman Catholic, then you would be saying, well, we've got a bit of a biased view. But anyhow, that's where it comes to be, that we understand that bit of a control, I suppose, by Rome at this point in time. Well, what happens? Well, a number of things happen. When we get to the 1500s, there's an explosion. 1500s, 1600s, the Reformation, the reforming. And we have people like Wycliffe. We have people like Martin Luther. Martin Luther says, the things that are wrong with the church. And he jumps up and down. And some of you who like church history may have read that he then nailed to the door, Wittenberg door, his 95 theses, saying these are the things that are wrong with the Roman Catholic Church. Rome, the centre, the Catholic Church. Now, when we come right through to today, I have to say that, well, I guess some of you, at a certain era in your life, you grew up with the fact the Protestants and Catholics would almost kill each other. You know, there were Catholic dogs. People used to call out from the Protestants walking down the street, and Catholics called out other horrible things to Protestants. Well, I think really that's gone. But at this time, if you go back a few centuries, there was great strength in the Roman Catholic Church. So when someone stands up and says, this is wrong, and starts to blow things apart, well, people are horrified. And it even set Christians against Christians. It was just, in lots of ways, a horrible situation. But some of you picked up as you came in this little bit of paper. And today we would say, what's the story with Baptists? Well, when the Reformation took place, we really had Protestants, the protesters, forming their groups, the Anglicans or the Church of England. We had Calvin with the Calvinists. We had Luther with the Lutherans. And there became those groups. And then around 1600, more groups sparked off. And one of those groups was us, the Baptos, the Baptists. And we were accused of re-baptising because children were baptised as infants, and that's where it came from. So I just want to look at some of these things that have caused, well, I have to say, a lot of trouble in the church over the years. The first is biblical authority. For us, the Bible is the authority, not baptism. Baptists got noted for baptism, but baptism wasn't the fundamental thing. Bible authority was the fundamental thing. Now, that wasn't always the case, nor is it the case today, because I know some of you have had a bit of a Catholic upbringing, and that'd be right, Geraldine, wouldn't it? Yes, it sure would. Yeah. Catholics have a belief that there's a Roman Catholic Bible, and added to that are other books of Catholic belief. Now, so when Protestants stood up and said, the Bible is the only authority, you can imagine that that shook the foundations. Hang on, we're not going to take notice of these other books. What we're going to look at is the Word of God. Oh, hello. And so we say, within Baptist and Protestant churches basically, the Bible is the final authority in all matters of belief and practice. It's inspired by God and is the authority of God. Please, please, please make sure that it is rightly discerned, rightly understood. You know, there are some people who take the Bible and interpret it in their own way. That is so dangerous, because as people say, we can prove anything from the Bible. Right. What we need to do is, as Timothy says, rightly handle the word of truth. And that means we need to get the whole perspective of the Bible, and not just one verse that suits us or one hobby horse that suits us. So the first thing that Baptists got into trouble with was that they took the word of God, and they took that above everything or anything else in the church. The second thing, and this isn't necessarily in order because it's a mixture of eight things, is the autonomy of the local church. We, dear friends, are independent. We can decide what we want here at Lighthouse. Now, yes, we're linked with the Baptist Union, but if we decided, well, we might have our service at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we might all meet on the law. We can decide what we want to. That wasn't the case, of course, in the Catholic situation. They said that the Pope, and what had happened was that Jesus had said to Peter, on you, you the rock, I'm going to build my church. So the Catholic Church, as it developed in Rome, said, right, Peter is the authority, what he says goes, and still now today there's the papal infallibility and the papal authority. So they're not autonomous. They're not autonomous. I've got there, the local church is independent, accountable to Jesus, the head of the church. No religious hierarchy outside the local church. So we can't have someone saying to us, hey, you Baptists are doing things wrong. Now, again, you can imagine what that did in the 1600s, when there's a group of people saying, we are going to control what happens in our church. We are coming under the authority of Jesus. And the hierarchy in Rome are saying, no, you need to come under our authority. You can see there's lots of sparks flying here. No wonder people were burnt at the stake. No wonder people were tied and hung because of their faith and their belief. It hasn't come to us cheaply, this. It has come at the cost of many lives. So I've just put there, friends, that's why the church meeting is so important for us, Because when you come to a church meeting as a member, you're a person who is expressing, well, this is how we're going to work the church. See, our feeling is that every person who comes to church comes as a worshipper, as I said this morning, and not only comes as a worshipper, but comes in a relationship with God. So when we come to a church meeting to decide something, we bring the wisdom of all of us under the authority of Jesus. So when someone says, what about this idea? We say, right, this seems a good idea to us all, because we've been thinking and praying about that. We're not being told down, but we're in a grassroots discerning the mind of Jesus. That's why it's important, friends, not to say, oh no, not another church meeting. What we really need to say is, how good that we have the freedom to be able to come and decide. How good it is that we can come and express an opinion. They can say that, we can say that, but we can discern it and work it out under God's guidance. Friends, if that freedom goes, we will be very sorry. Very sorry. We need to be alert. So please be at the church meeting. Priesthood of all believers. This is another thing that caused a lot of trouble, because there were Catholic priests, and it was the priest who said, this is the mind of God, or I am the person between you and God. So it's why they had confession, why they still have confession. These things, there is a mediator, as it were, between you and God. That's how the setup was. There was lots of control in that situation. So all of a sudden, when the Bible's opened and we're all called priests, hang on a minute, how does this really work? Well, it means, as I've got written there, one authorised to perform the sacred rites, a mediator between humans and God. Every believer today is a priest of God and may enter into his presence in prayer directly through our great high priest. Imagine if how often you had to go to the priest, confess all your sins, and then hope that through that man there was forgiveness. It's just amazing, isn't it? To think what we have. Good Broden, that you can just confess and you're forgiven, and you don't have to go to me. That's really good. Yeah, it is. I don't want to be sitting all week listening to what you've done.
That's for Thursday.
Yeah. Have we grasped that? Can we understand the onerous task that would have been? The embarrassment that would have been? But can you also understand the manipulation and the corruption that it led to? You come and confess your sins to me and just pay a little bit and we'll be right. Amazing. So we want to say thank you, Jesus, that we have a great high priest who does what? Intercedes for us because he knows our weakness. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. So, prayer is a God-given gift. We just have two, what we call, ordinances here. The ordinance of baptism and communion. And we've had that today. The ordinance of baptism and communion. Now, Geraldine... How many sacraments there are in the Catholic Church? Seven? Seven, yes. So there's the sacrament of when you're born, you're baptised. When you're about to die, there's the sacrament at the end there of last rites. And in between there are other things. There are things like marriage and other things like that. And all of those sacraments add merit to your life. Right? So, if you're baptised as an infant, merit. If they are able to anoint you as you're dying, that's extra merit. When I say merit, it's brownie points between you and God for heaven. Now, all of this just seems ridiculous to us. But if you're a person who had not been super well educated in the 1600s, and the church is saying these things to you, like this has to happen and that has to happen and this has to happen, and for all of that money's involved, everything's handed over in terms of cash, you are going to believe the church. So all of a sudden someone steps in and says, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. This isn't in the Bible. You don't have to do this and this and this and pay money all the time. And so there was great upset. It is finished, Jesus said. We don't continue on. Now, there is also in this the sacrament of the Mass. So that while we would have this morning communion, you would see sometimes on Saturday night, you would see Catholic Church open and people going there. You would see people going sometimes every day, some people go. Because included in that is almost the re-crucifixion of Jesus. It isn't finished. And if you're there and part of that benefit is to you. So if you hadn't turned up this morning, if I was just here by myself and I was a Catholic priest, I would simply be going through the Mass because that would be of benefit certainly to me. But we gather because we want to be together. And that's part of our worship. And if I was here by myself, well, I probably wouldn't just do communion, because communion is communing together and being together. So there are a number of things. And not only that, but there was another aspect that was involved here. Individual liberty. If I say something, you might think, Colin, that is completely wrong. That's ridiculous. I'm going home to check it out in the Bible. And you might come to me next week and say, Colin, you know what you said last week? Well, that was ridiculous. You have the freedom to do that. Baptists and other Protestant churches opened up the freedom to think and to respond as an individual. So we can be who we are in Jesus, which is wonderful. And the request, my friends, is to live in that freedom. We are not pressured. We don't have to be Baptists. And I do laugh sometimes when people say, oh, that's what Baptists think. Well, maybe they do, but I don't know. He used to say, get two Baptists in a room and you've got three opinions. And I think that's probably true. I don't know that there is a way that Baptists think, but there are certain principles that we have. And when we talk about membership today, it's what we're bringing people into. Alice has shared her testimony this morning. We've heard that. But 1600s, you were born into the parish. So maybe if you were born in a certain part of England or Scotland or wherever you were born, you were born into the parish, you were christened, that's it, you were in the kingdom. So when free church said, not so. Hang on a minute. There is a personal response. Jesus in the Bible calls us to believe. It just blew people away. Do I have to respond before I'm part of the kingdom of God? Yes, you do. There is an individual response. The other thing, of course, that happened with all of this, pardon me, is that things were invented. So if there's a personal response, we move from being condemned to being forgiven. Now, there was a spot in between that was created called purgatory. That's where those who hadn't been baptised as infants or weren't anointed at the end of their life, they went there to be purged because they hadn't gone through the sacraments. But guess what happened? So the priest might say, Grandma's in purgatory. You need to pay a little bit of money to get her moved across from where she is. You see, a lot of this was just open to abuse and to ignorance. So you can just imagine when the Bible was printed in a language people could understand, it was phenomenal. Is this true? Yes, this is true. What have we been told? Would you have been told a lot of things that really are just man-made? Now, let me say, between 300, when we're talking about Constantine, and around 1600, when we're talking around the Reformation, in that time lots of things took place. There were monasteries, there were orders, Catholic orders. There was a heap of good stuff being done. So I'm not saying nothing of God was being done. But I'm just putting us into perspective, because today we've talked about membership and what do we really think? Well, this is what we think and this is our understanding from a Baptist point of view. Individual, baptism, salvation. We decide. It is not decided for us by our birth in any other way. That's why we call today, this is believer's baptism. It is not adult baptism, it's believer's baptism when a person can testify to their own personal faith. This stood in stark contrast to the christening of children. And so Baptists normally don't have christening or use water. Normally have a dedication of a child, but not a christening of a child. Water's not normally used until a baptism. So again, people often wondered, well, am I going to go to heaven because I wasn't baptised as a child? Am I going to go to heaven? Is Grandma in heaven because she wasn't anointed when she was about to die? And then, of course, people became ridiculous and weren't baptised until they were nearly dead. So they used to rush down people, you know, on stretchers and baptise them. Well, if they weren't nearly dead, that probably finished them off. And because they didn't want them to die without being baptised. So many stupid things have been done in the name of Jesus, and we need to be careful. Now, quickly, pastor and deacon exist within the church and no hierarchy within the Baptist situation. Pastor, deacon, elder, those sorts of things. No pope, no priest, no archbishop, no archdeacon, no, that's all out. And then the last thing, church and state. Baptists have always been very strong about the fact that we are not controlled by the state. Church of England, we didn't want to be controlled by Henry VIII and his immoral behaviour. We didn't want to be controlled by any law like that. But the rule was that we would be the best citizens we could be in the country. We'd render to Caesar what was due to Caesar, we'd render to God what was due to God, and that's how we would operate. Now, of course, the church in those days, back there, 1500s, 1600s, was under the authority of the state. Baptists and the free church said, no, we'll be the best we can be, but we are not going to be controlled, sometimes by people who are pagan, sometimes by people who are immoral. That's not where we come from. And it was only recently, here in South Australia, that the state, our state government, in terms of the Baptist government, said, we are not taking money from government for schools, we're not taking money for our nursing homes. And then it just became so prohibitive to fit in with this government's regulations for school, the government's regulations for nursing homes, that the Baptists said, we either close or we take money. So they closed the Baptist nursing home Ilura, that many of you would have known about and perhaps supported. They closed that because they couldn't meet the requirements of the government and they weren't prepared to fit in with those requirements. A whole lot of things that had to be allowed that they said, no, from a Christian point of view, we're not prepared to do it. Now, of course, it means that you're then not caring for that age group. But at the same time, they took that stand. The schools still operate. But in those days, they said, we are not going to come under the authority of a ruler who is pagan or immoral. And I guess today, we just say the same thing. Where does our allegiance lie? I mean, we voted Liberal, Labor, Green, Teal, whatever you voted, but where do we put ourselves when it comes to this? Friends, a bit boring, but to simply say it's important for us to know when we talk about church membership what actually we're involved with, how we think about the church as opposed to other churches, and to know that we're part of the Reformation. We are the Reformed, if you like, the Protestant, the protesters. Now, I want to say we should still be protesting. We should still be the protesters of society. That's where we as Christians should be, jumping up and down about the things that annoy God, jumping up and down about the things that annoy us, and being part of this community, but being a voice in it that causes explosions. Let's pray.